Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Purple Daily is daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
Welcome into Purple Access. Actually, every Thursday, of course, we rotate between Tyler Fornes of Vikings Wire and Chip Scoggins, my good friend from the Star Tribune, and it's a chipper Thursday. Roscoe also along, and Chipper, let's start here. Combine's next week. Things are starting, the speculation is starting to heat up. What is your current state, your opinion, I guess, of where things stand with the Vikings quarterback decision potentially, because I feel like you are in the eye of the quarterback hurricane, and all around you speculation is blowing. Guys are, you know, left and right, it's going to be JJ McCarthy, it might be Jaden Daniels, no, it's going to be Kirk Cousins, no, they're going to go get a bridge guy. What is your current assessment of the state of the quarterback situation in Minnesota?
Without being in the room, it feels kind of, I don't know if chaotic is the right word. Is chaotic the right word? Definitely unsettled, right?
It could be chaotic.
I still think, you know, the interesting thing that I don't think anybody has gleaned from this is, what is Kirk willing to do? What's he willing to accept? Is he willing to accept 2 years? Because I don't think that was part of his game plan this time last year. And so is the injury, is the year older, will that change his thinking in terms of, you know, long-term versus, you know, two-year? If he's willing to accept a two-year, I think I think the Vikings will re-sign him. Because you're probably going to have to guarantee him, what, the 2 years, right? If he's insistent on 3 years, I would move along. I wouldn't be willing to commit to 3 years. So without knowing like what in his mind he's looking for, or is it, you know, I guess everything's a negotiation, but if he's adamant about a longer term deal, or at least longer than 2 years, I think the Vikings will move on down the road to plan B.
Do you fully guarantee 2 years?
I think you have to, right?
Well, but that's my sort of breaking point, is I think you guarantee a year, and I'm not saying he doesn't get a second year. I'm just saying fully guaranteed for a second year. Like, that's where I think you get, I think it's
that's where he may.
Yeah, exactly. Balk.
That's where he may budge, because he's like, Because then he'll think, well, this is basically a one-year deal then, right?
Correct. But it needs to have that ability, doesn't it?
I don't know that it necessarily has to, that you have to get out from underneath his contract after 1 year. I think 2 years is fine. I would not go to 3 years.
Okay.
I would not do that. Ideally, you do 1 year. You guarantee him 1 year, and then you draft a quarterback.
Yep.
And then you can pivot after 1 year. I just don't know that Cousins is going to agree to that. And maybe that will be a holdup, you know? Because I think both Kwesi and Kevin would certainly sign off on 1 year just to get things back, you know? Because this is an important year for them, right?
I don't disagree with you. Yes.
And I don't know. Right. I wouldn't quibble with the second year, Judd. A third year, I would.
Okay. So I'm going to throw a curveball, a fly into the ointment of this because because there is a report out in recent days that I think has an interesting angle to it, okay? Let's just say for a second that what Mike Florio is reporting in Pro Football Talk is for sure accurate, and that is that the Vikings are not balking at Justin Jefferson's price. They are balking about the fact that Jefferson Camp wants full guarantees beyond 1 year. Now, according to Florio, and I don't recall this, but I guess I'm not surprised, the Vikings have an organizational philosophy or rule about not giving out fully guaranteed contracts beyond 1 year to positions, except for when they made the exception in 18 for Kirk Cousins.
Correct.
And we all know that the Vikings definitely guarantee money into future years, but fully is a different story.
Yeah.
Here's what I don't get how you can rectify. If you're the Vikings and Kirk says, I got to have 2 years fully guaranteed. And the Vikings say, you know what? Okay. You beat us down, you win. But then the Jefferson camp says, hold on a second here. We're your best player. And you're telling us that you have a rule that you won't do this except for you just did this for a 36-year-old, soon to be 36-year-old coming off an Achilles. I think that puts a real dagger in the relationship with Jefferson. So that's where I think it gets even more intriguing if indeed all of it plays out.
Do you, if you're the team though, do you go back and say he's our best player, you know, everything he means, but the quarterback position is just a different animal in football?
For a star top 10 for sure QB, I think you might. It's Kirk Cousins, though. He's going to turn 36. His Achilles burst. I think that's a real hard one to draw a line in the sand on Justin, who is, by the way, one of the best players in the entire league. Like, this is where it's – you're not talking about a good player. You're talking about a great player.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, yeah, he was a top five player in the NFL by players voting that, right? So, yeah, it's – if they're adamant about that, and I don't mind the organization saying we can't guarantee, you know, a 5-year contract to,
100%.
1 year, I think you do that because it's Justin Jefferson. Beyond that, I don't, you know, I don't have a problem with the team saying, you know, it's as much as players, I always tend to side with players on these things because their career span is so short that they need to get as much money as they can. I understand because of the nature of the sport that it's just impossible to guarantee fully guaranteed contracts. So even for someone as great as Jefferson.
Right.
I have to think about that, Judge, because the Jefferson negotiations or talks or whatever you want to call them have not been contentious at all to this point. Everything he's said has been, I mean, we've had no sense of acrimony now. That might change the longer this goes along and closer you get to training camp, and if he is insistent on getting more than 1 year guaranteed money. But are you setting a bad precedent if you allow Kirk to do one thing and him to do another contract wise?
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just the, you know, it's an interesting thought. I mean, but it's I keep coming back to just the difference in position. And even you could say, yeah, it's not Kirk, you know, Kirk Cousins is not Mahomes or Burrow or Josh Allen, but he's also, you know, he's not at the lower end of quarterbacks either, you know. So I don't know. That's a tricky one. I'd have to think about that more. But, you know, if I was reading Seifert's piece today where Jefferson's kind of left crumbles and morsels of hints throughout the, you know, the offseason of his interviews where he's made it clear he wants to be paid a record amount for a non-quarterback. So
yes. Oh, he wants to break the bank. And but I yeah. think the Florio thing is spot on, because since these talks began, and Chip, it's pretty well known that I think a lot of people expected that before the Vikings opened against Tampa Bay last September, a contract would get done, which, by the way, is how the Vikings yeah. operate. Like, we've Typically, seen that yeah. how many times now? And
Well, that I would say the previous regime, yeah. this regime has not, you know, we don't have a track record on them yet, really, right?
Right, but the Wilfs, I'm saying, like, the Wilfs.
The Wilfs ownership, correct, yes.
The thing that made it, that made it intriguing for me is I've had a tough time believing that the Vikings are balking at price tag. I think the price tag, it's going to be more than Tyreek Hill gets, right?
Yes.
It's going to be probably sure. close to, or just above Bosa. What Bosa gets.
And
it's
not going to be 35. Is that 35, Judd?
Yes. Okay. So yeah, the AAV on Hill is 30.
Yeah.
And he's the highest paid receiver in the league. Bosa 35. But my point is, like, it's going to be around there. And I had a hard time believing that there was some, like, huge gap of, no, we got to get 40 or something like that. This makes the most sense as far as a hang-up or hiccup, that it's actually, it's structure. Always had to believe it was structure, right? So we know that now. Now, here's the thing with Justin that I find intriguing. Despite his position so far, and I've been wrong about this, like, this has changed before. So just for now.
Yeah.
I don't sense diva. Like, he is, I don't know why, but he seems to be very patient, seems to be very much live and let live. But I think he definitely is headstrong. And so I don't know that this is going to get acrimonious. I think it could just come to an end here if the sides agree, they can agree.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's, I think everybody loves his personality and kind of how he approaches the job, but he also understands his value.
Correct.
If you look at the quotes that he had in Seifert's piece, he's like, hey, I'm doing things, putting up numbers that are pretty historic here that haven't been done. And so, and he has representation that are going to, you know, want to break the bank too. So, you know, if he's saying, you know, I want multiple years guaranteed because Kirk's getting multiple years guaranteed, I just don't know that that the Vikings can say, well, we better only guarantee Kirk one. Because do you think Kirk would come back for only one guaranteed year?
No.
I don't think he would
either. And I think there's a very good chance Kirk is not back now regardless.
Yeah, I don't know if anything in my mind has pivoted off that unless he is just he's not interested in a 2-year deal if he wants longer than that. And I just, you know, at that point, I'm fine with two again, Judd. I know that may sound a little wishy-washy, but because at some point you got to turn it over and start anew, right. And this might be the best draft class to do. But I don't think that precludes them from taking a quarterback in this draft, whether it's McCarthy or trying to trade up and get Jane Daniels. I don't think you're going to – Daniels is going to go, what, 3 probably?
Who knows? I don't know at this point. I've seen more I think the combine is going to help a lot.
Because there's going to be more smoke mirrors. That it's going to be, you know,
well,
more.
2 weeks ago, I would have said that I think it does go Williams, May, Daniels.
Yeah.
Not so sure now. But here's the thing, as far as like the smoke goes and as far as the misinformation campaign goes.
Yeah.
Right now, you can make a pretty good case that it's out there that Daniels and May are falling, not both of them, but one, but it depends on who you listen to. So,
that's it. Yeah.
So I'm growing more and more skeptical as to what the truth is here, which is not surprising.
Well,
and McCarthy sounds like he's going up.
And that's the thing is like teams or whatever are going to put that fall in love with one of these guys are, well, they're going to put out so much misinformation to make it sound like
absolutely,
you know, a guy had a bad workout or they're not interested in him. Just to, there's going to be so, because there's so many quarterbacks that are first round potential. There's going to be so much subterfuge going on this before the draft. It's probably unlike any that we've seen here in recent memory, because there's just this many quarterbacks,
right,
and quarterback needy teams. So, you know, I'm going to try to tune out the rising and falling stuff, because it's like, where's it coming from? Like, is that, why now? Why is he rising or falling now? Like, what, he hasn't played a game. He hasn't done
right. You're not playing games. I know.
Yeah. So
I know.
So I, to the original point, I still think if you had 2 years and you can get your quarterback, if it's McCarthy, if they fall in love with him, this is a very important time for Kevin O'Connell.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know, even going back to the Rams, he loves to go to all the workouts and break down all the film and all the quarterbacks, and he creates a catalog, so to speak. Because I think he keeps it, right, just in case 3 years from now or four, you know, whenever in the future quarterbacks wouldn't become available. But his evaluation's got to be massive in this whole thing, right? And you know, he's not the only voice in there, but he's the expert voice.
He's the most important one.
He's the most important. So, I mean, I can't imagine just how important these next 2 months are for him in shaping. Although you're going to have a Cousins decision before.
And does sticking with Kirk help him or actually put more pressure? Because if you bring Kirk back, I think there's a higher expectation of what 2024 should be. 100%.
Well, if you bring Kirk back, you're coming back to be a playoff team. I mean,
yeah,
you're not bringing him back.
And let's say you're not.
Well, then that's a problem.
I'd rather buy myself time with a new quarterback, wouldn't you?
If the Wilfs are on board with that, if they can convince, because this is year three, and it's not like their contract's up after this year, but you want some clarity with ownership that, like, hey, we're going to start over at quarterback. I mean, we've seen examples where it doesn't have to be a rebuild or a struggle. I mean, CJ Stroud, just look what they did.
Yep.
But there's a good chance that guy might struggle and you might have to go through some growing pains and it might not be all smooth. And so that has to start at the very top and making sure you have that a little more patience. But just in terms of getting it right, whether it's this year or 2 years from now, if they re-sign Kirk and turn it over, I mean, this is, you know, you can't miss on this quarterback, or you know, we want to go through that again. they've done that a lot.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts, or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom. And it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
I agree completely. Yes, Roscoe, go ahead.
First off, boys, happy misinformation season to both of you.
I love this time of year.
And to all who celebrate. It truly is a great time of year, because the speculation is great. And then we'll all find out 2 months from now how much of it was real, how much of it wasn't real. Okay, a couple things on Kwesi and Kevin O'Connell. This will define their tenure with the Minnesota Vikings. These next 2 to 3 months will. If they get it right and it results in wins next year and long term, they'll both be around for a while. If they're not, they won't be here much longer in the realm of the NFL, probably a year or two. On Justin Jefferson specifically, what is your guys' worry level that a deal won't get done and at some point he's playing for another team, or they feel like we're not going to get there, we have to move on from him and get whatever we can get? I don't feel that at all. I think if we're just arguing over structure or negotiating over structure, they'll get there. I really do. I don't think that there's much to worry about at this point, but we also know these things can turn on a dime. But to Judd's point, I don't think we're dealing with a diva. I think we're largely dealing with somebody who will want to be here as long as the Vikings pony up. And at some point, I think they'll reach a deal. But is there a worry level that this thing could fall off at any point?
I don't have a worry right now. I just think he's so important to the organization that they'll figure out the structure. They'll figure out the money. I don't foresee this as something that would create a divorce. We've seen it in the past with, you know, players, but I don't sense this is the case. And, you know, there's been talk about JJ wants this quarterback or that or what.
I don't think that matters.
I don't buy that for one second. No. I mean, if you lay out a contract that's going to make him happy, he'll play with whoever the quarterback he is. I mean, it's about the contract. So, but I don't at this point. I don't really see this as a something like the sky's falling.
So I can for sure not refute the Florio report. Like I don't recall it being, but the guaranteed contracts in the sport are so rare. So like I didn't know that the Vikings had a rule. Because they've guaranteed cash into future years before 1,000 times. But it's true, you know, you just in this league don't get a lot of fully guaranteed or multiple years guaranteed contracts. So Florio's probably right. My worry is this. My worry is if the Vikings really do have a line in the sand here, and let's say more importantly, though, the league does too. You know, when the Vikings signed the Cousins contract in 18, I think they got a lot of blowback. And the league's like, what are you doing? You're fully, we don't do that here. You know, that's not what the billionaires club does. So if the Vikings are going to now have a problem with this, I think it could get contentious. I think it'll get contentious behind the scenes more though. Like, I don't think JJ is going to air this out. But here's where my concern dovetails in. And I think it's legit. This needs to get done at some point soon because the price is only going up.
Yeah.
Like that's the addendum onto this, these discussions is going to be, okay, it's now July and so-and-so got paid. So now it's just gone up and gone up and gone up. So I would just for everyone's head to hit the pillow at night for sweet dreams to occur. I would like to see this ironed out ASAP in one way or another.
Well, yeah, you want it to, you don't want to drag into, you know, training camp or anything like that. Cause then it could really get messy. Cause if I'm JJ's agent, he ain't showing to camp. Yeah.
I'll take him off the field myself. If he's out on the field first day of training, I will go out on that field. I will grab him and I will bring him to the sideline with myself.
Yeah. Joe, you mentioned something interesting too. Just, you know, cause there's a talk about, would Cousins take a hometown discount? There's such inherent pressure from the union stuff because these contracts set bars for the next guy. They don't want you taking hometown, even if you felt compelled to do it. Because that's what players do. Just as we're saying Tyreek Hill's $30 million for JJ, that's a starting point. You want it to be and from the league's perspective, I'm sure they don't like precedents of guaranteed contracts because you don't want somebody coming to, you know, whoever, the next team and saying, well, you know, Cousins got his fully guaranteed and we want, you know. So there is that you're operating on your own behalf, yes, but I think there is – other factors and I don't know if it's pressure, but just kind of an understanding that you're helping, you know, set kind of the market for the next guys behind you.
Absolutely. And the league conversely does the same exact thing. They don't want guarantees.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they exist, but they don't want, I mean, if Justin Jefferson, let's just say that he's willing to sign a 5-year contract, but the first 3 years are completely guaranteed. That means his buddy Jamar Chase is going to try to get 4 years guaranteed, which is great for those guys.
Yep.
But I mean, there's a lot of inherent pressure here from, as you said, Chip, the PA and the league itself to avoid these things or to get what you want. And so I do think that there is a different discussion here, especially on the Jefferson contract that goes well beyond a Vikings discussion. It's a precedent discussion.
Well, that's it. Yeah. And that's, and you know, that's why it's going to take longer than probably everybody would want because these are, you know, factors that you don't really deal with or you don't deal with in every other contract negotiation.
Roscoe?
All this and you guys haven't even mentioned another name that the Vikings need to figure out what to do with. Danielle Hunter. When does he get his? Does he not get his?
I'm losing hope on this one. I'm losing hope, Chipper.
Judd, I think he's going to get a big deal somewhere.
And Chicago, maybe.
Yeah.
Ooh, that would be fun.
People mention Jacksonville a lot. Is that what they're looking for?
Their edge is a free agent himself, and he might leave and he might be kept. Chicago makes a ton of sense, though.
Yeah, that would be.
Because they've got Sweat now, right? And they just signed him to an extension. I mean, the Chicago Bears, I know they've been, 2 years ago, dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Last year, same record as the Vikings, so let's not call them a dumpster fire. But I think the Bears are very
Caleb Williams. Yeah.
I think the Bears are going to I think the Bears have a very good chance, if all goes right, at quarterback. That's a big if, to compete for the NFC North title next season.
Also, Judd and Chip, very, very quickly. I'm sorry, Chip. Bears have been a dumpster fire forever. The last few years, or going back 2 years, Judd, they were a dumpster fire by intention. There's a difference. Yeah. Yeah, this is all part of their plan.
True. True.
Yeah. And, you know, to get this to where you're in position to draft Caleb Williams and, you know, another great player at number nine. And what do you think Justin Fields will command on the trade market?
Second round pick and maybe another like fourth round pick. And that's a very intriguing question, because I think it was on ESPN's NFL show a couple days ago. They're pushing for Fields to Atlanta, which I think Cousins to the Falcons makes a ton of sense. The Falcons also have the eighth pick, but I think Fields lives there. And he would be, he certainly wouldn't command what Kirk is going to get on the open market via a trade. And you got to believe the Bears are probably going to draft Caleb.
They're not walking away from that option.
So
they can Fields put out to whatever
Atlanta or Pittsburgh. Here's a chipper.
Yeah,
Maybe
Pittsburgh. I mean, the thing is like you can, and they're smart to play this. Maybe we'll hold on to Fields.
We'll,
you know, to see what teams would be willing to move up to give you Caleb Williams. They're not passing on a chance to draft Caleb Williams, because imagine there's no guarantees, but you look at his skill set and just how creative he is. What if you don't draft him and he goes somewhere and he becomes the player that people think he is, and you didn't, you know, you didn't open that door and walk through it? They're not doing that.
I agree.
So I mean, the second for Fields. Yeah. I mean, I hadn't heard the Atlanta one. Pittsburgh is one that's been mentioned a lot. So that's going to, you know, you're going to add more ammunition. I think they have, was it 4 or 5 picks in the top 125?
Bears?
Something. So they're going to, yeah.
Well, they got one, they got 9. I mean, they've got an embarrassment of future riches,
high-end,
potentially.
Yeah,
high-end
yeah.
riches, absolutely. Cousins to the Falcons, to me, still makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
They got the room. They got the tools.
Yeah. And he's, you know, his wife's from that area, right?
The OC is a McVay disciple, like O'Connell is. Like, there's a lot of things there. And, yeah, he is – so I think his wife was – what? His wife grew up in the suburbs of Atlanta?
I think so. Yeah, that's what it was. You know, to go back to Ross's initial point about Daniil, I think someone's going to give him a big contract. And when you start figuring out the math, and I mean, I know there's a way to structure contracts where you push the money into the future, but when you're talking JJ and Christian Darrisaw is going to need big money, and whatever you do at quarterback. Now, obviously, if you part ways with Kirk, you can make it work, but if you bring back Kirk, I don't know where the money you're gonna have the money, because I think he's just gonna get a big deal.
Which leads me back to the most important question, and that's this: where do the Vikings perceive the Vikings are? Like where? Well, like okay, you could be competitive, but let's for one second let's just take being competitive off the table and let's go all into an end of the pool. Like where are the Vikings? So if Daniil leaves, your defense has suffered a huge blow.
I mean, their defense, I think they're a long ways away, to be honest with you. I mean, as great as we all think Brian Flores is as a coach, when you look at the personnel, I think they have so many needs there. But this is the fundamental question that everything revolves around. We all know that the Wild went through this, Judd, where they're good. Not great, but good. Not losing. They're a fringe playoff team more times than not. They're competitive almost always. You felt like you had a chance going into every game. Just getting the playoffs, and you never know. Yep.
And that's the, I know.
And that is a comfortable place to be versus what Chicago went through the last couple of years.
Right.
Which is not probably fun.
Or the Blackhawks right now. Same thing.
But it's also a hard, uncomfortable conversation to say, are we really a contender? Like, are we in that?
Right.
Or are we just a good team that can get in the playoffs, but really, are you going to make any kind of run? Those are I feel like we're perpetually in that state in this state.
Correct. Right? Well, we seem happy to be, and we seem happy to be in that state, but then
because it's not bad, it's not a bad place to be.
But then we get upset that we don't have titles. I can tell you exactly why you don't have titles, because you're perpetually in a state. And look, you know what, Chipper? Especially
just gonna get fired up here
in football and like hockey.
It's a comfortable place, Judd. It's a comfortable.
You know what,
place
though? The comfort place. So the overriding philosophy is get in the tournament, and who knows, right? Yeah, I feel like when we were kids,
yeah,
that was a lot more possible in like football and hockey. Than now. Yeah. Like I watched the conference championship games in football, the Super Bowl. Those teams didn't luck their way there.
No.
They're stacked, they're built.
And the other thing is football, you know, when you see what Mahomes can do, it's not just like, well, let's just go in there and see what happens. No. It's like that guy's not losing unless see what happens.
I've said this before, but I also think the way the Vikings are currently constructed, if you get to the playoffs at 10-7, this team is not winning two or three road games to get to the Super Bowl. No. That's not going to happen.
No. Because, you know, Mahomes can do that. He can pull a team. And I shouldn't just say Mahomes. They had a really, really good defense this year. Best defense they've had in his tenure there. So,
yep.
So that should be, you know, they should have one of those, what do they call those getaways? Retreats. They should have a Ziggy retreat where they go to, where would they go? Northern Minnesota, like some big, nice
cabin.
Brainerd. They go to Brainerd.
They go to Brainerd. You have Ziggy, Mark, Lenny, Quasey.
Kids. All the kids. There's more Wilf kids now in charge of the team.
And Kevin, and then they light some candles, bring in some bottle of wine. Have some steak, and like, where are we? Fundamental question, where are we? And then you go around and you get the answer.
And get on the same page, though. Get on the same page. Because, like, if you bring Kirk back and you don't bring Daniil back, like, can you really with a straight face go to Flores? But then, let's say you do that. The 11th pick almost certainly has to be used on an edge rusher. It can't be used on a quarterback. Yeah. Because why would you then draft a quarterback if you think you're going to contend? To me, it's become a perpetual state of confusion. So, Chipper, how many times since we covered that team together, and the answer is a few, but how many times have you thought this team is ready to pop?
2010 when they brought '09, '10. Like that team you looked at, it's like, this is a team capable of winning the Super Bowl.
Yes. Yes, I remember. I think it was in training camp in 09, I want to say. And I didn't appreciate this until it actually took place. John Clayton, the great late John Clayton, was doing his training camp tour. And I was talking to him, and he's like, if this team gets a quarterback, look out. And I'm like, really? Yeah. You think so? He's like, no, I've seen a bunch of teams. They're great. And he was 1,000% right.
Yeah,
and that influenced my thinking of, okay, so there are times that you can look at a team and say, okay, this team is on the precipice of something special with a quarterback, for instance.
Well, and I remember last year when the 49ers were in town for that joint practice and just seeing that team and the players they had and the size and the athleticism, and you're like, you know, and this is when
agreed
they weren't really sure who the quarterback was, but this looked like a championship team. But yeah, I mean, you go back to 09, I saw our good friend George Stewart, the former wide receivers coach here. He's a supervisor for officials for the NFL now. He goes around to different camps. But he was in camp this year, and me and Seifert were talking to him. And I said, Stu, that 09. I don't know if you ever, how do you get over that? He's like, I'm still sick to my stomach, Chip. I'm still sick. You know, I just, I'm still sick to my stomach. I mean, that team, you could tell me, I don't care who won it. I felt like that Vikings team should have won the Super Bowl that year. They were that good.
Oh, yeah.
When you look at how many Hall of Famers were on that team or all pro players, that's a team that was ready to contend, Judd.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they didn't understand that for 2010, you were going to have to make some changes. Like, they just tried to run, you know, football, you can't run everything back. You can run a lot back.
I was okay with it, though. I was okay.
Well, I was at the time, too. I learned after they did it. I'm like, okay, that was the problem. But to your point,
when your quarterback doesn't want to play, you have to drag him back.
Well, Sidney Rice screwed him. And then they didn't tell Brett Sidney Rice is out. I still remember asking Favre, if you had known, because it was clear he didn't know, if you had known Sidney Rice was going to take a powder, would you have come back? And I think he goes, that's a good question. Which meant no. But your San Francisco point is spot on. That is, when you watch that team, and still now, right? And yes, they've done a marvelous job of basically punting on the quarterback they thought was going to be for Purdy. So that's sort of odd. But when you watch that team as a whole, you see that they are in a window, right? Like, they're in a special window. How often have the Vikings been there? And that's the thing is, like, this team's not in that window. Like, so you're going to get in the tournament? So, okay, you're not in a window.
I wrote about this a couple weeks ago, Judd. I honestly think there's only – because the NFL changes so much, and it's so uneven and you know, turbulent. This year you're good. That next year you're not good for whatever reason, injuries, blah, blah, blah. I think there's only a select few people that are really have windows. The Niners because of the roster, Mahomes, Josh Allen. When you have a superstar quarterback, there's a window. Or a star-studded lineup like the 49ers roster have, which a bunch of all pros. That's a window. We talk about windows with all these teams, but so much changes year to year. That's like, really, what is a window? You know?
Starts with good lines, Chip.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
Starts with really good lines.
But I think the Vikings are definitely in this weird state of not knowing what they are. If they're contending, if they're competitive rebuilding,
agreed.
They're in this murky area, and we'll know by May 1st, when's the draft or whenever.
April 25th.
By the way, we'll know.
Our draft party. If you want to show up, Chip Scoggins, we're going to have internet.
I'll come.
I'll believe it when I see it. Every year you tell me you're coming, and then you get busy.
I know. We'll know what they think about themselves here in short order.
And here's one for you guys on Texans Daily. I think we'll find out this year if the Texans are entering a window with CJ Stroud.
Yeah. Like I said, that's fair. I mean, we need to see more from him.
Yep.
But I think with, like, when I say window, like when you have Mahomes.
Yep. You know they're going to be in it this year.
Win as many Super Bowls as you can with Mahomes, and then it's going to turn over with Josh Allen. Try to get there, and you know, that type of window. Now there's windows where, hey, you got a rookie quarterback who led us to the playoffs, and you think everything's going to be great here. When I say windows, I mean, like, really you're winning at the highest, you know, you're going to be in the conference championships, you know, three out of the next 5 years or whatever, I think.
My problem is this. I don't know, and we don't know enough about them yet. I don't know that the Vikings understand how to construct the window to open it for themselves. That's what I need to find out. That's what I need to see. I'll give Spielman credit for one thing. And this is why in 2018, I didn't criticize him one bit. That team coming out of 17, great defense, had a lot of really nice parts. And he's like, I haven't found a quarterback yet. I'm going to go sign Kirk Cousins. Now, it has not worked as expected or hoped, but he capitalized on a window that he tried. It didn't work.
Yeah.
But he knew what he was trying to do.
It makes sense.
These guys know what they're like. To your point, Chipper, it feels like they're sort of flailing about and trying to serve two masters. They're trying to serve the Wolves, let's be competitive. But their vision should be, how do we actually build this thing up? And meanwhile, Ryan Poles, went to Chicago, and he might get fired and be terrible, but he knew what he was doing. And as Ross said here, the Bears have 5 picks in rounds 1 through 4, 1, 9, and 75 in the first 3. That's understanding what you want to do.
Well, and as painful as this might be for Vikings fans to hear, I think the Packers have a plan. They got their quarterback, and they got the youngest roster in the NFL.
And
they got a bunch of picks this draft. So I think their plan is they know what they're doing. They're building they turn that roster over. They got young, and they got the quarterback they hit on, you know. So, yeah, we need a name for this state that the Vikings are in. I gotta come up with one. I don't have it right off the top of my head.
Purple Purgatory.
Purple
Purgatory.
That's what you got to rename the show.
Purple Purgatory.
How do we get out of here?
Until they win a Super Bowl, in which case we can cancel all programming here because the goal will be delivered.
That's right. I know. Oh, gosh.
Roscoe, final thought?
My only final thought is that Chip somehow put in perpetual state in this state in one sentence, and I haven't been able to get that out of my head for the last 20 minutes. I continue to think, guys, this is it. And we've talked about this numerous times, and I said it 15, 20 minutes ago. If Kwesi and KOC don't get the next 2 months right, they won't be here much longer. So it's a very exciting time, I think, for fans. For them, it's probably, I don't know, maybe nervous time, but this is also what they're paid to do. And I hope that they're looking at this as a great opportunity. And to your point, Chip, if I got Kirk Cousins on a 2-year deal and I knew I was going to have him for 2 years, but I really like that quarterback at 11, and I know it flies in the face of what Judd says, and I do agree with you, you likely need an edge rusher if Daniil leaves. But if I really like the quarterback that's there at 11, well, then I take him and I make him push Kirk Cousins a little bit. That's what I would do. You have to have the exit plan from Kirk Cousins at some point, and you don't know what next year will bring. So if you have the chance this year, I think you have to do it.
Yeah, if you feel like you fall in love with the quarterback and he's there at 11, you have to take him, because this is not a 1-year thing. That would be a future thing and a long-term thing. And so it would definitely, you wouldn't get the edge rusher or the defensive tackle or the top flight cornerback that you desperately need. But nothing's more important than solving the quarterback position.
If it's truly a negotiation and it's being done in good faith, then this would never happen. But you tell Kirk Cousins, hey, we'll give you 2 years guaranteed, but you got to give us a chance if we want to seek trading you next offseason, which he would never agree to, but at least he'd get his money that way. But then you'd have to find a team that could actually take that $35 million cap.
And it's guaranteed at that point in time.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, boys, good stuff. Chip, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks on Purple Access, all right?
See you, boys. Later.
See you later.
Purple Purgatory.